Join Helen on Inspired Radio, 10 to 12 p.m. Mondays, Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Well, I never get used to hearing myself talking about myself. It's the funniest thing. Welcome to Inspired Radio, where this is all about change and getting uncomfortable. My guests are here to tell their story, their personal or professional experiences, because storytelling is such a powerful way to communicate. I want to just say that this show is about embodying the spirit of love, respect, and compassion. And with that in mind, I just want to let you, the listener, know that my guest today will cover aspects that can include mental health and vaccine injury recovery. So having said that, let's start a good conversation here on Inspired Radio. Magic Barclay, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Helen. It's so good to be here and talking to the Yarra Valley.
Thank you, because you're part of it. You're from King Lake, aren't you?
I am.
You're one of our locals.
I'm a local.
That's great. So before we start, before we do anything else, you know, I've got to ask, because there'll be some people thinking it, Magic. Come on, what a wonderful name.
Thank you. Yes, it started out as a nickname from my grandfather and quickly became my name, and I was told to live up to it, so I'm going to do my best to do that today.
Oh, fabulous. Well, we look forward to hearing about how much magic you're sprinkling around in the world. That's excellent. So where do we start? That's a rhetorical question for me, that is. Where do we start today? How about we start with, because I know that in 2020 a lot of things turned upside down and inside out for you, and you had to reinvent yourself. So from what, who were you? Who was Magic before that?
Okay, so Magic before 2020 was someone that had chronic illness, someone that was learning a lot about her own body and decided to travel the world to study her own body. So I threw myself into what the lymphatic system does. So if we go
back. Let's go back a step. What was wrong, if I could ask? What
so,
was
yeah, if we go back to 2014, I left my marriage, I took my kids and my pets, we moved to Melbourne. And I was incredibly unwell. And I found a doctor that was a young guy who asked questions, who challenged the status quo, and he said, I think you have cancer. We did all the tests, and sure enough, I did. Okay. Had it already gotten into my lymph nodes, and so that's when I started learning about the lymphatic system.
So what made you sort of take that road yourself to start looking at how your body worked and how you were going to heal yourself?
Years of medical gaslighting got me there. So years of me saying, I think something's wrong with my thyroid, and GPs and specialists saying, it's all in your head, you've got Munchausen's, you know, you're just imagining this, you're attention seeking.
So you had a history of illness yourself and a history of not really finding solutions.
History started when I had my first son. So mm-hmm. my body started changing rapidly. I was morbidly obese and I just couldn't get a handle on why was my body doing what it was doing.
Why is it behaving this way?
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it took some research then, going to GPs and then being told I was crazy. That happened for years. Then come 2014, I find out I've got cancer. It's in my lymph nodes. What are lymph nodes? They're part of the lymphatic system. What is that? No one's ever mentioned that before.
So did you start to research that for yourself to
find out? I started to research that myself then. I started to get into natural healing. Before that, I was very much the, you know, good doctor says model girl. I was doing it all.
Well, isn't that interesting though? Because, you know, I found not just in my own experience but talking to others that when we start to open a door to another lot of education and research, sometimes it starts with getting sick.
It does. It does. Well, just like the immune system needs to be agitated to mount a defence, so does your brain. Mm-hmm. And my brain was really being agitated by what I was learning.
Okay. And off you went. So how did that send you out around the world looking? What were you searching for?
So I was searching for what is the lymphatic system?
Okay.
Why is my body doing this? What is a cancer? Uh-huh. Why is my body doing this? Like, it always started with what and then followed with a why and then the how of how do I fix it? So I actually met a couple of doctors around the world online, and one is Dr. Perry Nicholson from Stop Chasing Pain. I went to Malaysia, studied with him in person, and I went, wow, my body's doing this to keep me alive. I get it now.
So, okay, okay. So, and you were changing trajectory, like your path in life as well. So what sort of business, what sort of work
were you
doing?
Yeah, I was in coaching before that.
Mm-hmm. Coaching people?
From my own experience. And then I kind of put myself into how do I take this to health, because health was my biggest priority. Apart from my kids, my health.
Mm.
And very tied in. Like, if I don't get well, I won't be here for them. So okay, how do I get well?
That's a good incentive, isn't
it?
So you travelled the world, you found different people, and they all had different processes, different protocols.
Yeah, so I went into the lymphatic system, I went into functional medicine, I met Dr. Stuart Gillespie and learnt functional medicine through him. I've been studying with him now for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love knowing how the body works now.
So tell me what sort of business you had then. What was your business model leading up to 2020?
Look, it was purely coaching women out of DV. Because that was my experience.
DV, what's
domestic violence?
Oh, thank you. Oh boy, we just jumped into something else that I didn't know we were going to jump. Okay.
So it was helping women with the decision to leave or stay.
Okay.
Because it took me a good 14 years to decide leave or stay.
Right, but we all know, if anyone that has been in that situation, that it really does pay to have somebody to have a good conversation with, at least to start off with, right?
100%. And so that was my coaching space. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm going to give you all of the tools for yourself to either leave or stay, make a decision.
Mm.
Because if you don't make a decision, you'll either A, end up not alive anymore, or B, you'll end up a person you don't want to be. And that's what had happened to me.
Right, right. So what you were really doing was taking all of your experiences and the way you found to recover and to look after yourself, and you were turning it into a model to help others.
Very much so.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the things that were sand and hills and names. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
the desert wind, it flies underground and the perfect disguise above. Under the city lies a heart made of ground, but the human will give no love. The city I've been through, the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, cause there ain't no one more to give you no pain.
Welcome back, everyone. Helen here, Inspired Radio, and I'm here with Magic Barclay till 11 o'clock. So, Magic, you know, we've just talked about how 2014 led you on a worldwide journey to understand how the body worked, right? And you found out many, many things, and you were a coach passing all that information on to others. So in 2020, what happened to you, to your business?
Yeah, so in 2020 I had two clinics, and the clinics were in Hampton and Viewbank in Victoria, mm-hmm. So opposite ends of Melbourne.
And we had everything covered.
Had everything covered. And we were doing a lot of hands-on lymphatic work. So we just discussed the lymphatic system.
Lymphatic drainage, massage,
yeah,
that sort
manual
of thing.
Complex decongestive therapy, it's
technically excuse me.
Called.
Okay.
So I was doing that, and I was doing some functional medicine work, just dipping my toe in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first lockdown happened.
Right. What happened to your business?
Okay, so I was an essential service.
Okay.
So people could show their text message from my booking system.
Because you're reminding me of language that only 5 years I've forgotten. Essential service.
Essential service.
Okay,
yeah. So all they had to do was show their text message, come to the clinic if they got stopped by the police. Show it, you're fine. It's an essential service.
Evidence that they needed to go where they were going. Yeah.
Unfortunately, people were too scared.
Okay.
So people would stop coming. And okay. I was still paying rent on two clinic rooms,
right,
opposite ends of Melbourne. And it got to the point where there was no point. No point to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually ending up putting my laptop on the massage table and doing a Zoom and showing people how to drain
right.
on Zoom. And I'm like, this is not working.
Well, at least you were trying some options, hey?
I was trying some options.
You were thinking outside that square.
Yeah, so I'd started learning functional health, and I thought, this is the way I need to go now.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do this bigger. I need to play bigger. I need to stop being safe and scared, and I need to just go out there.
But, I mean, gosh, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Like, how do you go from having two functioning, successful businesses to making a decision to go, no, scrap that plan, I've got to start a new one. How do you do that?
Well, it wasn't about me, so it was about my clients.
Okay.
How do I service clients in a way that works around what they're scared of or what the governments are doing at the time or what the police are enforcing?
Mm.
And how do I get health to them? Because that's ultimately what I'm there for.
How do you still provide a service and keep operating and helping those people?
Exactly.
But how did you navigate that? I mean, that wasn't a decision made overnight.
It wasn't.
It was courageous, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, thank you. I was studying business in Sydney,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it was coaching business. I'd done my coaching certification. There was a whole lot of different components to this course. And I thought, I'm going to use what I know and turn this and pivot online.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved my family out of Melbourne, closed the clinics, moved my family out of Melbourne,
okay.
went to regional Victoria and bought Zoom because I'd never used it before.
Okay.
And went, right, now, sink or swim. I need to help people get well, but I need to do it in a way that doesn't cause more stress for them, because mm-hmm. stress creates chronic illness.
Sure.
These people are already chronically ill. I'm not adding to that.
Okay.
So, yeah, we started just doing it from the study, and, you know, my kids are grown, so they were helping me with the business stuff in the background and scheduling and, you know, computer
systems. It was a real family business.
Like, it was a real family business. And so we pivoted online. And what I found once we did that was our market wasn't just Melbourne anymore.
Okay.
And it wasn't just Australia. It was worldwide.
How did that happen?
Word of mouth. People
wow.
tell other people, and, you know, the internet's a worldwide thing, so
yes.
people find your website. And I was getting people buying coaching packages for functional medicine mm-hmm. from everywhere. Currently, I have people in England, I have people in Canada, I have a couple in the US, and, of course, a lot of Australians.
You're doing something right.
Thank you.
Good on
so,
you.
So, you know, it pivoted because it was a need, mm-hmm. a need of mine to service people, and a need of them to learn about their bodies.
Sure. So, again, you were putting into practice what you had to personally learn, and you were turning that into a business.
Exactly.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
So tell me about the shift to the country.
The shift to the country came mainly because I had also studied permaculture in this time. So mm-hmm. if you try and lock me down, that means I'm going to educate myself a bit more.
So, use that time constructively.
Exactly. So I learnt permaculture, and from the property that we're in regional Victoria, it was just a house block. It was a fully functioning permaculture farm on a house block. So
right.
we were growing 80% of our own food.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then I
had
thought...
Had you done that before?
I hadn't, no.
Not
well,
even
always
the,
had
the pot
veggie
plant
gardens.
At home? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Always had veggie gardens, but never permaculture.
Mm-hmm.
So permaculture is about closed loops. Everything has a use, a reuse, and you get very little brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was successful. And then I thought, how do I do this on a mass scale for my family? Because 80% is not good enough for me.
Holy cow,
and
you're a woman on a mission.
Thank you. So we found a farm and we rented the
farm. So you went
farm.
From the house block to what acreage?
10 acres.
10 acres, okay.
So we've gone from 582 square metres to 10 acres and rented it and started building and moved all the plants and all... Had to leave some planters behind, they were just too heavy. But all the skills came with us, all the seeds came with us, all the propagated cuttings came with us. And yeah, bingo.
Sounds like you mastered stage one, and that then earned you the right to go to stage two.
I wouldn't even say stage two. I've gone from stage one to stage 10.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. All right, we're just going to go to a song.
Walked into the room and now my heart's been stolen. You took me back in time to when I was unbroken. Now you're all I want, and I knew it from the very first moment. 'Cause a light came on when I heard that song, and I want you to sing it again. I swear that every word you sing, you wrote them for me, like it was a private show, but I know you never saw me. When the lights come on and I'm on my sing it again. Could I
it again. Or when you sing it again, can I be you? Or sing it again, yeah. Or when you sing it again, can I be here? I swear that every word you said, you wrote it for me, like it was a private show. But I know you never saw me, yeah. When the lights come on and I'm on my own, will you be there? Will you be there? Can I
Welcome back, Helen here, Inspired Radio, and I'm here with my guest Magic Barkley. And before I forget, that first song that we played was A Horse With No Name by America, an oldie but a goodie, and the song you just listened to was Can I Be Him by James Arthur. Magic, tell me that comment you just made to me. Tell everybody the high heels to boots.
Okay, so in the reinventing...
Oh, sorry, I got to turn you on. Go for it now.
Okay, so in the reinventing of myself, I went from high heels, jewellery, nice dresses, lots of makeup, to work boots, flannelette shirts and a wide brim hat.
And that's a really good comment to now, let's just dovetail into. Tell me about wildlife and what it means to you.
Okay, so my son, my youngest son and I have been in wildlife rescue since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my recovery from my cancer was to get out into nature. And what better way than to be around animals?
Right.
It's not always a great thing to be a wildlife rescuer. There's a lot that you see that you really wish you hadn't
seen.
Pretty
confronting.
It is confronting, yeah. But you're there to help the animals.
Sure.
So we specialised in bats, microbats, birds, small mammals. That then went into big mammals like roos.
Yep.
And, yeah, we...
And that was before you even were living regional.
Yeah. So
right.
We were still living in town in Melbourne
okay.
when this started. Yeah, so we started working with shelters and we were transporting animals from regional Victoria across to a shelter other side of Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the system. Where it is now, we're still rescuers. We're national rescuers now. So in 2020, when the world changed, we decided that being Victorian rescuers wasn't enough for us. We were spending every Sunday pulling several animals off the Hume Highway, and that's a national road. So we registered nationally with Wildlife Rescue Australia.
Okay.
We're still with them. And
it's yep. like everything that you do in your life, Magic. It starts off at one level and goes to the stratosphere.
100% it does.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So tell me, so you reinvented yourself, you reinvented your business. So what is your business model now? What are you doing?
So functional medicine coaching online, as I said, on Zoom, sometimes by phone if it's people in Victoria.
So what is functional medicine?
So functional medicine is looking at how the 13 bodies systems all work together. And so
they're within us. We've got 13 systems within us.
Mm-hmm. So the immune, for example, is actually 9 types of immune system.
Okay.
How do they all work? Why are you switching from one to the other? What's causing that? Is it a pathogen? Is it chronic stress? Is it something else behind it? So we look at that. We look at how to elevate
the cause. You're looking at
root cause.
Okay.
Root cause.
So you started this business up and now it's international.
Now it's international mm-hmm. and now... For locals, we're growing medicine.
My gosh, what are you growing?
We're growing all sorts of things like yarrow and comfrey and rosemary and lavender.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lemon balm. We've got lime balm. You name it, we're growing it at the moment. So now the next stage of education is herbalism. So I'm looking mm-hmm. at how can I use these medicines, these plant medicines, to treat root cause.
Okay, because I know what comfrey's all about. I mean, I've been using that myself for years, but and everyone knows what rosemary and lavender is to some extent when it comes to essential oils and things. But you're saying there's even more that can be done with them.
There's more that can be done. And as a side shoot to that, we use therapeutic grade essential oils and we make our own blends. So we've made 27 blends of those. They're on our website. They treat a host of conditions. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you grow something like rosemary or lavender, you need a lot of that plant to make the medicine. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we need to use the essential oils for that.
Yes, I think I learned when I was delving into essential oils that you need quite a lot of wheelbarrows of rose petals to make, you know, just 10 mil of rose essential oil.
Exactly.
That's what you're talking about, though. It takes a hell of a lot to get a little bit out the other end, but it's pretty potent stuff, isn't
it?
Yes. Yeah. So what sort of people do you now look after in terms of your business? Are you still doing coaching?
So still doing coaching. We have holistic counselling as part of the business. Mm-hmm. We look at functional medicine coaching as well. So that's the backbone of the business. But now we're seeing a lot of people with vaccine injuries.
How did that come about for you?
It actually came about because I got referred a couple of clients from someone from Melbourne's Freedom Movement. And she said, look, I don't know if you want to take on these people because they've got a lot going on. And after talking to them, we could see clearly from the history where the injury began. And it began in 2021. And once I kind of shook off, there's nothing I can do about mRNA itself. So the way these new things have been designed, we don't know what's going to happen. Just say that. But I'm very ethical with my clients and supportive, and I say that from the outset. Look, you've had this medication. I don't know what it's going to do, but I can treat what it's doing now.
And how are you going with that? So you've found some solutions, have you?
We found some solutions. Look, it comes down to basic functional medicine. If we look at the root cause, what is whatever they did, be it a vaccine, be it a medication, be it chronic stress, what is that causing? We track it back, what systems of the body is it affecting, and we go from there. Okay. And so we're seeing some really, really good results with people. People that were too scared to even go outside, they had agoraphobia, they had chronic stress, they had PTSD, they had mental health decline. And now I'm seeing these ladies report back to me, I went to a family function and I spoke to five people and that hasn't happened for 5 years.
That must be very satisfying for you.
It is.
To
it
see
is.
Those sorts of outcomes.
Yeah, that's, definitely.
That's wonderful. So how's your family involved in this? How's the boys? You've got two boys, haven't you?
I've got two boys. So mm-hmm. one is my tech guy. He teaches me how to use everything.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody needs one of them in the family, don't they?
Because I sit there and go, how do I copy this in PowerPoint? And he's like, oh, my God, a face palm. I've told you a million times, Mum. So he's my tech guy. He keeps all the systems running. He double-checks all my equipment for our podcast. And then my youngest is my farmhand. And so he helps me with planting things, with cultivating things, and with feeding the family.
He's got a big job. With 10 acres, there's a big job. Yep.
We also have 14 kangaroos on that 10 acres at the moment. Okay. So when we moved in, there were four. And now we've nurtured the mob. We've got 14 and we've got a very mischievous wombat. And all our neighbours love the animals, so that's great. But we work in with them, so we make sure they have enough land for what they need.
You're not talking about your neighbours now, you're talking about the
sorry,
animals.
No, sorry, my ruse. They have enough land for what they need. We make sure the land is clean and free of things like phalaris grass, which are poisonous, toxic to kangaroos. Mm-hmm. We make sure that we fence in our veggie garden because I'm not going to yell at the ruse for, you know, going and grabbing
doing
a
what
nice
they do.
Meal. That's what they do.
Mm.
So it's up to me to make sure it's fenced in and that everything's clean and tidy at all times.
So it sounds like you're healing the men and women of this world and the animals and the land.
We are. And as an example, one of our roos had an eye infection. So we cut some lemon balm, we threw it out, we saw him eat it, and his infection was gone within 3 days.
Oh, my gosh. That's just wonderful. All right, we'll be back soon.
There's nothing colder than your shoulder when you're dragging me along like you do, like you do.
And then you switch up with no warning, and you kiss me like you want it. How rude, how rude. But I kinda like it anyways. I don't mind if this is gonna take a million days. I know you'll come around to me eventually. If you sit back, relax, enjoy my company, my company. Once you know what my love's gonna feel like, nothing else will feel right. You can feel like moonbeam ice cream, taking off your blue jeans, dancing at the movies, 'cause it feels so chase me, but I wouldn't mind it if you give me just a little bit of something we can work it with, but all you do is push me out. But I like it anyways, 'cause I think I'm getting closer to you every day. I know you'll come around to me eventually. Just sit back, relax, enjoy my company. Oh baby, trust me, once you know what my love's gonna feel.
Back here again with Magic Barclay. You were just listening to Mystical Magic by Benson Boone. Magic, let's get into, you were just saying to me, how to encourage people to start growing some of their own things from the pot. What did you say to me? What was the comment you made?
So clean nutrition starts with knowing what a food is.
That was it, clean nutrition. Yeah. I didn't know that was a pot plant.
That is a pot plant. So when you know how something grows and how it seeks the sun and how much water it takes, you know what you fed it. That's clean nutrition.
Ah, right. Because I remember, I mean, I've always had a little bit of a green thumb. I always had plants in the home and whatever. But about 8 years ago, I was living in an apartment with a balcony and I turned my mind to putting a few planter boxes out there and started investigating how I could grow my own things. What a journey. It was incredible. But as I just said to you, my first mistake was I was trying to keep all the plants perfect. It was like taking all the bad leaves off and staking them up and doing all sorts of things and getting very upset when they'd start to die off and stuff. It's a real journey, isn't it?
It is. And plants aren't perfect. None of us are perfect. So plants are living things. No living thing is perfect. That's the first thing you need to know. A plant has so much to offer you, so much to teach you. And if you really want to learn self-mastery of patience, grow a plant, because just when you think it's going really well.
And that wasn't patience as in people, that was patience, a virtue, wasn't it?
Exactly. So just when you think it's going really well, the plant will do something, or the environment around the plant will change. And so you have to learn to adapt, because that's what plants do. And so feeding your family can start with a balcony. It can start with one pot. It can start with, as I said, a balcony garden. It can start with a backyard. Mine started with the backyard. Now right. It's 10 acres. Like, you don't need a farm to feed your family.
I found that out with a balcony. And tell me about bugs, because that was the thing, right? When I started seeing bugs coming in, at first I saw them as pests and a blight and they needed to be eradicated somehow. But then I started to realise that they were telling me something. Sometimes they were telling me that the plant was getting too much water or something. And as soon as a plant starts dying off, bugs come in to finish it off.
Yeah, so bugs have a crucial role. Bugs are also pollinators. So your bees, your wasps, things like that are also part of the bug system. We have predatory bugs. So we have things like ladybugs that love aphids.
Yes,
so if you have an aphid-free plant, you will never see a ladybug.
You can even buy ladybugs and stuff online. That's what I discovered too. Mm. You could kind of buy all these different bugs and things to create a little permaculture in your own backyard.
Exactly. We make sure that in our veggie garden on the farm that we have like high points, stakes that aren't staking anything up. They're just in the middle of the garden. And that encourages the dragonflies somewhere to nest and perch.
Uh-huh.
And so what the dragonflies will do is eat all the mozzies. Now, one bug I really don't like is a mozzie.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea that's part of what they do. They just look beautiful when you see them.
They look beautiful, but they are predators, just like the ladybugs. So if you have a high point in your garden, a stake even in your balcony garden, just a stake where they can land and perch and look for their prey, and a water source, something with pebbles in it, because most bugs drown in water. So you want to make sure you've got a shallow dish with pebbles or sticks in it so that they can get in and out. And food source, something like yarrow that flowers, or alyssum, something like that, which is a healing herb. It's a ground cover as well. Keeps your pot healthy, your garden healthy, your farm healthy, wherever you are. And the dragonflies have somewhere to eat, to sleep, to rest, to hunt.
You've learnt a lot, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely.
How long has it taken you to learn all of this?
I've always grown a veggie garden, but it's taken me probably, I would say, the past 7 or 8 years to really adapt to permaculture, and that is what can do something for something else. So, for example, on our farm...
Companion farming, that kind of thing.
On our farm, we have chickens and alpacas. Their poo is always composted. The alpaca poo is put down fence lines. We have a fox problem. Guess what? We don't see the foxes around the chooks anymore because the alpaca poo keeps them away.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible, isn't it?
When our wombat that we mentioned, sorry, Helen, our mischievous wombat likes to terrorise our alpacas. Now, we have house cats. We use kitty litter. So what we worked out was the used kitty litter along the alpaca fence stops the wombat from harassing them. So this is permaculture, closed loops. What can you reuse? What has another purpose?
And there's other purposes for poop.
Yes, poop is
incredible.
A great thing.
That's incredible. Let's have to go to another song.
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running out, day after day, we'll make the mundane a masterpiece. Oh my, my, oh my, my love. I take one look at you, you're taking me out of the ordinary. How would you lay me down? Up in the clouds, not jealous, knowing we found something so out of the ordinary. You got me kissing the ground, we're your sanctuary. Shadow me with your touch, oh Lord, return me to dust. The angels up in the clouds, not jealous, knowing we found hopeless. on the edge of your night, staying drunk on your vibe. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we found something so out of the ordinary. You got me kissing the ground, sanctuary. Trying to be with your touch, or it's turning to dust. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we found.
Welcome back, Helen and Inspired Radio. I'm here with Magic Barclay. You were just listening to Ordinary by Alex Warren. Magic. All right. Let's wrap this up today. Thank you so much, because you've just changed immensely in a period of 6 years. It's incredible what you've done.
Thank you.
From having two clinics in the burbs to living on acreage out in the bush, but still keeping a business model going, totally reinventing it, yeah, and coming out successfully the other side. I take my hat off to you for having a family business and having, you know, the young men that are your sons as a part of it as well. And then having your wildlife arm to everything too. I think your story is just wonderful. Terribly inspiring. Very inspiring. So let's let people know out there how they can contact you. Firstly, what sort of clients are you taking? What sort of people come to see you and your model?
So we're taking on anyone that wants to get well, because I can't do it for you. No matter what it is, you need to want it for yourself.
Yep.
So we'll support you. And if you have an issue, whether it be a minor issue or a major issue, we will do what we can to support you.
Okay. So it doesn't matter. It's just that you're going to just meet them where they're at and help them with functional medicine.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what about permaculture? You're holding classes in that too?
No, we're not holding permaculture classes, but what we are about to launch is our homegrown herbalism. So we'll be doing videos through coaching sessions of this is the plant, this is what it does, this is how you grow it, this is the pest, this is the beneficial bug, and all that involved.
So you really are doing that?
Yeah.
That's fabulous. So tell me, how do people get in touch with you?
The best way is via our website. So it's holisticnaturalhealth.com.au.
And now, holistic with a H?
No, holistic with a W.
Thank you.
So we use holism to treat the body. I mentioned all 13 body systems earlier. Mm-hmm. That's part of holism. We don't look at one thing in isolation. We treat with holism. So it's holisticnaturalhealth.com.au, holistic with a W.
Okay. So how's life for you now? What does the future hold? I mean, boy, you've just completely reinvented yourself over a period of 6 years. What's next?
Hopefully, I hope my son's listening, what is next is that I become a nana. But, you know, just putting it out there. No, what's next is continuing on with the farm and continuing to learn and grow things, nurturing our animals and just enjoying our life the way God intended.
Yeah. So you've really gotten back to a natural type of life. Is that what's happened for you?
Very much so. It's the way my grandparents were. My grandfather was a compounding pharmacist. My grandmother,
really?
So my nana, had a herb for everything, and so we've just gone back in time.
So you're just the next generation, a chip off the old block, so to speak.
Trying to be.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
All right. So more of the same.
More of the same, but really helping people with where they're at, looking at root cause and matching it up to what natural medicines are available.
Mm. And that just sort of follows on from the compounding.
It does. Yeah.
Aspect of things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, right from the outset, I was given a nickname and told, live up to it. Well, I hope I'm doing that.
Oh my gosh, I think you're sprinkling your magic everywhere. So what would you say to anybody out there that is looking at or considering making some change in their life?
That's a great question. So not everyone dives in headfirst like I do, and that's okay. Mm. Be where you're at. If you've got an idea, nurture the idea. Planning is a great thing. Pros and cons. Yes, I do it. Whilst it sounds like every jump I make is on steroids, It's all very well planned and thought out. So I'm aware of any pitfalls that might happen. I'm aware of how I might respond positively and negatively. And really, just bite the bullet, get started, because nothing happens unless you start something.
You are the change.
You are, definitely.
That's great advice, though. The way that you just explained it, where sometimes I know in my life I was being encouraged to take a leap of faith, and I found that that doesn't work because you essentially leap into nothing.
Well, a leap of faith is great, but that's external to you. Just have the faith in yourself.
That's even better advice.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well said. So for anybody out there that's considering making some sort of change for themselves, you are the change.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you need a support network. So whether that's family, friends, or whether it's a coach like one of us, mm-hmm. then, you know, you've got the support there. Don't go it alone, because that's when things can go a bit pear-shaped.
And that's actually good advice too, about reaching out and talking to somebody, because a little mantra that I have is, when you talk it out, you work it out.
Definitely.
Yeah. When
Definitely.
You keep an idea to yourself and it goes around and round in your head, we tend to magnify it and magnify the problems, instead of when we do talk it out, we tend to find the solutions, find the answers.
Definitely. And whether you're writing a book, whether you're writing a blog, or whether you're writing a note to someone, plan it.
Mm.
You know, same with life. If you're growing a plant, start small, work out what's happening, and then increase it. You know, save your seeds, like learn something new. With
That's something else
that
you're doing, isn't it? Saving seeds.
Yeah, so every season we save seeds, at things that are about to, you know, be chopped and dropped. So chopped and drop is when you cut it down, leave it on the ground, let it decompose. We take the seeds first. So we've got the next season's plants.
Oh, okay. So you keep recycling around that way.
Yeah.
So you've got a little seed bank of some sort.
100% we do, yeah.
Uh-huh.
A whole case of seeds.
And I said to you in the break just before, I mean, it is quite incredible how plants themselves work. I remember finding out from a friend's mother, she had tomato plants, and she said to me, if you take the fruit off the second rung on the plant, the seeds from that plant will grow fruit from the second rung of the next plant that is grown.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's programming in seeds.
We're incredible too, Helen. So we see ourselves as humans as something that's different from everything else. We're not. Our information starts as a seed. We have to plant the seed. We have to water it. We have to give it sunlight and warmth and nutrients. Our mind is the same. So when we have an idea, that's your seed. And so you need to treat that with respect. You need to treat yourself with respect and start to grow.
That is just a beautiful statement, love. Where did you get that from? That is just beautiful.
Somewhere in the seed of my mind.
Yes. Yes. I love that, because you're right. We are the seed, and our ideas are as well. So we really need to nurture and look after ourselves, don't we?
Exactly.
Because we're growing the next idea and the next reality.
Yep.
The next project.
And the next you. It's important to note that you don't need to stay the same. So I didn't. You know, I went from my glamorous dresses and high heels and jewellery and makeup to my flannelette shirt and boots. I've changed. I'm not the same person I was 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Mm.
And neither are you.
Mm. I call them different versions. I kind of look at ourselves as, you know, the Russian dolls, mm-hmm. where you've got one doll inside of another doll. I like to look at that sort of visual, that
exactly.
that's who we are,
yep.
and we keep reinventing ourselves, because we're certainly not the same person we were when we were 20 or 30.
No.
You know, we keep reinventing ourselves and growing.
And so just on what's happened for the past 5, 6 years, people have changed, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And your circle of friends has changed, and possibly your close-knit family has changed. That's all right. You're adapting, and you are who you are today.
That's a beautiful way to wrap this up. It has been such a pleasure having you on, Magic. Thank you so much for sharing your magic.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.